And at this time, we're visiting with our good friend Bob Jensen, editor and publisher of the Huskerland Prep Report, as we get ready for another high school football season. Bob joins us on the phone. Bob, hello to you, and thank you for taking time to visit with us as we get ready for another high school football season.
Hey, Brent. It's great to be on, and of course, it's especially great to be on in my home county of Custer, and all my friends back there, both of them. Hopefully they're both listening. We'll find out later.
So. Speaking of friends, I'm just going to break right into this question for you. I know that you know Kirk Crawley and Larry Cotner very well, and these are two guys who are going to be helping us with our coverage of high school sports and especially high school football this fall. Do you have any stories that you would like to share with our listening audience about those two individuals?
You know, that's it's funny you phrase it like that, because to the first part of that sentence, the answer is yes. And to the second part of that sentence, the answer is no.
No.
Okay? I don't think I could do any of us any good. I'm not running for major public office again anyway, so I'm out of the woods. But Crawley and Cotner, they got enough going on where we don't need to go down that path.
Okay.
That's great. A couple of great dudes, a couple of guys that are not only passionate about football, but they're great to listen to, and it's great to have them around. They're good men.
Yeah, they are. We're glad to have their help again this season. My memory falters more and more each and every year, Bob, and I know that I ask you this question every year, but I'm going to start our conversation with the same question, and that is, how many years now are we on the Huskerland Prep Report?
Well, it's funny you should ask that, because this is, I don't know, Brent, this is our 30th anniversary.
Oh, wow.
30 years of doing Huskerland, and on a much more local level and, frankly, more important level. This summer's the 40-year anniversary since I started my reign as the sports editor of the Custer County Chiefs.
Hey,
June of
wow.
1979. Best job I ever had.
Yeah.
Best job I'll ever have. So.
Well, that's great. I know KCNI Radio is celebrating our 70th anniversary this year, so there's a lot of anniversaries going on.
So did you run out this morning and turn on the tower at 6 o'clock like Cotner used to do?
No, I did not. Dave still does that, Bob. Dave is still in charge of that. So
okay, well. You know, I like a guy who takes a leadership role like that.
That's
good,
right.
Good job.
Yes.
Good job, Dave.
He leads by example. He's always been very good at that. Well, let's begin our conversation with the high school football season starting up. And I thought that for us, a perfect place to start really is with the C-17 district, Bob. It certainly shapes up to be a competitive district again. Of course, you have Broken Bow in that district, along with Gothenburg, O'Neill, Ord, and Valentine. You have an Ord team that a year ago, I think, maybe surprised some people, making it all the way to the state championship game. Gothenburg is always tough. And, I mean, every team goes through this each and every year. Each of those teams that we just mentioned in that district, you lose some kids because of graduation. But everybody has guys coming back. So as you think about that C-17 district, Bob, how do you kind of see it shaken out as you have kind of looked at it coming into the season?
Well, that's just it, Brent. You hit it right on the head about Ord. You know, Ord's never been in a state final, so it's a little hard to say, hey, I knew that was coming.
Mm-hmm.
But they did. They had a really talented team last year. They had three things that immediately come to mind. One of them is Ord kids are just tough. You can ask any Broken Bow kid who's ever played football. You know, that's just a physically tough program. They had a great quarterback. Jesse Aldrich is one of my favorite players of all time, and he was the catalyst. And the other thing they had, and now they still have to a large degree, is a huge line. And that line is going to be about as big. They're certainly more athletic, and that will be the motor that drives what I see as the eventual district champion this year.
Mm-hmm. When we look at C1 as a whole, Bob, are we kind of looking at the usual suspects to compete for the title, and is there a sleeper maybe like an Ord was last year, that could sneak up on some people when you look at Class C1 as a whole?
Well, when I think of C1, especially this year, let's go back just long enough to go to last year's playoffs. I don't know, Brandon, in my opinion, there's just not very many real upsets in high school football. Mm. There can be a team that maybe wins by a little less than what they thought, or maybe loses by a little bit less, but you don't have true upsets. There was a huge upset in last year's C1 playoffs. I saw both Newman and Pierce play twice last year during the regular season, and if you would have, I would have given you, I'd have given you Newman in, you know, 14 for entertainment purposes only, of course. They beat them. They beat Pierce. They beat Pierce on a last-second field goal. Well, Pierce has got that to motivate him. Plus, they got a whole mess of outstanding players coming back. And Pierce is, to me, a pretty easy pick to be number one in C1 to start the season, at least. We've got Wahoo at number two. Wahoo's football program has gotten steadily better over the last decade, to the point where the last 3 or 4 years, they've been right there with anybody in C1, but they haven't made a state final, and so they certainly haven't won a state championship. Both of those could happen this year. And then our number three team is Aurora. Aurora is last year's team was the most dominant C1 state championship team in my opinion in the playoff era. I think that's pretty easy to say. Mm-hmm. They're going to take a pretty dramatic step back, but still be outstanding. And when you talk about a surprise team, I don't know how much of a surprise it is. Ashland Greenwood's been to a couple state finals, and they won 8 games last year, but they won it against a friendly schedule, let's call it. Well, their schedule is going to remain pretty friendly, but they've got a lot of people coming back. They've got some outstanding individual players. And I can see Ashland Greenwood finding a way to, you know, depending on where that line falls as far as the East-West goes, I can see them in the semifinals for sure.
Yeah. Bob, as we make the transition to D1, for our area, like it was a year ago, the D1-8 district pops out at us. You've got Burwell, who, of course, made it to the state championship and was so close to winning the title a year ago. Arcadia, Loup City, Elm Creek, South Loup, Amherst, Ansley, Litchfield. This, again, appears to be a loaded district in D1.
Well, here we go again. All right. I thought this time last year that Arcadia, Loup City would win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't quite happen. It took a while for all the pieces to come together. They lost a couple, you know, they lost a couple big games. They lost a couple games that I think, you know, in August they thought they would win. I know I thought they would win, but they did not. And when it came around the second time to play in Burwell, that did not work out well at all. So, having said that, we've got Arcadia, Loup City, and Burwell both in the top five, and they are two distinctly different types of teams. Arcadia, Loup City is loaded; they've got a lot of people coming back. Caden Kusick is just an outstanding runner, a big 200-pound kid, fast, strong. He's got a big line in front of him. You know, this Detlef's kid that plays linebacker for him is one of the great tacklers in 8-man football. You know, they got a lot of things to like, but they got to find a way to beat Burwell. And Burwell's got hardly anybody coming back in a starting role for their team. But they've got Luke Gideon coming back to coach them, and they are Burwell. They've been in 3 of the last 4 state finals. And so that's one of those deals. I always say, Brent, I always say that, especially at the high school level, there are games where teams lose to a helmet. When that purple helmet comes running out on the field, it doesn't matter who's in it. Teams tend to think, well, that's it. We're dead. And so, I don't know, Arcadia, Loup City, for my money, I mean, physically, they're right there. They should be able to win this district. Will they? I don't know about that. We'll see. I mean, they certainly wouldn't surprise me if they did. South Loup is going to take a step back. Andy Schwarz, that was kind of under the radar. 20 years the head coach. He got him to a state final, done all these great things, and, you know, he's kind of stepped away. It's a coaching change to South Loup. They're going to be good. Elm Creek's going to be better. Amherst's going to be better. Andrew Litchfield played a murderous schedule last year, And we're as good a 3-5 team as you're going to find. There could be some surprises beyond those top two teams, mm-hmm. but those top two teams are truly the top two teams in that district.
Yeah. Moving now to Class D2, we think of area teams, of course, Sandhills, Thetford, and obviously Mullen had a great season last year, getting all the way to the state championship game. But for Mullen, obviously you look at the loss of Lane Edis, who has graduated and moved on. But again, Sandhills, Thetford, Mullen, two teams that always find a way to kind of restock. And then you throw in Twin Loop with the leadership of Mike Kojal and an Anselmo Myrna team, Bob, that I think has a chance to make some noise and really show improvement this season.
Well, okay, so how about if we start with Mullen?
Okay.
Mullen, they were great. And Lane Edis is right there. I mean, he's on the handful of all-time great eight-man running backs. The kid was, that's just it. You know, Brent, and a lot of people listening know, but a lot of people maybe just saw him as a football player, but the kid was so much more than that. You know, he was a great high jumper. He's a great track athlete. He's cowboy tough and all that kind of deal. Well, Mullen's got some guys coming back, and they're gonna be fine. Clayton Hassett and the Quanvig kid, Ty Quanvig. Mm-hmm. They're big, burly, two way linemen who are going to be outstanding. They're going to be tough to beat. And the thing about Sandhills, Thetford, it's kind of a magic act over the years. I mean, those guys have virtually no depth year after year, yet their frontline players, there's a lot of outstanding frontline players there. And they're going to be really good. I don't think they're probably going to be as good as Mullen, but they could be. We'll see what happens. I do know that the youngest Picorni boy, Dane, is going to be a sophomore this year. And I'm telling you what, if there's a kid in your area that could go from being – good. He was good last year. To being great, to being, in the talk at least about Allstate. I mean, that may sound a little crazy, but he's going to be that good. Mm-hmm. That's all there's to it. And Twin Loop they lost a lineman in the off season to transfer, which nobody likes. But they've got some pieces. And again, Kojal is one of the great eight man coaches. In the state. That's undeniable with his track record. And then I agree about Myrna. I thought Myrna was going to do it last year. But those kids, that senior class, they played a lot of sports. They played a lot of football. There's some athletes. The Liebhardt kid is overcoming his father's advice to move into a position to be one of the great quarterback, great dual threat quarterbacks in eight-man football. But when I think of Myrna, I think of the Miller kid at linebacker. He is just outstanding. Seth Miller is just a tough kid who is just a tackling machine. And it just feels like if early in the season, especially, if they can win one of those games that they've managed to not win, especially last year, it just feels like it could jumpstart them in a district where there's some wiggle room there. They could do some things. I don't know. I think it's going to be tough for them to beat an Overton, but I could see them being second best in that district.
Well, Bob, it's always great visiting with you. We could go on, I know, for another hour or so, but we need to kind of wrap it up. I can't think if people want to get ready for high school football. I'm serious, folks. There is no better publication to get your hands on than the preseason magazine from the Huskerland Prep Report. How do people go about getting a copy of it, Bob, if they wish to do so?
Well, first of all, thanks, Brent. That's awesome that you would bring it up like that. You read it just like I wrote it down for you. Good for you.
Well, we've been doing this a while, you and me, so I was able to follow the script this time.
Well, anyway, if people would be so kind as to share our 30th year with us, we would think that would be that'd be great. This is a great keepsake. If you like the game or have a kid playing it, it looks great in a scrapbook. You can call our office at 800-323-3929, and we'd love to fix a whole mess of Custer County people up with a subscription.
Well, Bob, it's always great having the chance to visit with you, especially as we get ready for another high school football season. And We appreciate you taking the time, and we hope to see you down the road at a game or two this year.
Well, absolutely, Brandon. On a personal note, I'm just hoping that your exposure to Cotner and Crawley doesn't wreck your personal career. So good luck with that, okay?
All right. Thank you, Bob. All right. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.